Hey, everybody. The Air Raid Podcast is now sponsored by the American Brewing Company in Edmonds, Washington. They're one of the fastest-growing microbreweries in the Northwest, featuring the extremely talented brewmaster Skip Madsen. His breakaway IPA has become their number one bestseller. Stop by and find out why. You will not be disappointed. American Brewing Company. Drink domestic. Buy American.
We be cool. We're even now.
Bump it.
I'm not bumping your fist.
Do it, Charlie. Bump it.
I'm not bumping you, all right? I never bumped him once, and I'm not going to bump him.
All right, whatever. All right, no bumping.
Just don't want to think on these guys are freak show.
Well, welcome to the Freak Show, everybody.
Oh, hey.
This is the Air Raid Podcast, episode 63.
Woo!
And what has now officially become a long and drawn-out series.
It's not an accident at all.
I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I am dangerous.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, man. Yeah. Episode 63. Wow.
I make a toast.
Oh, we've got a great show planned for you today. We've got Justin Ansley, the drummer of the drummer of Legendary Oaks, this local Seattle band that are pretty darn good, will be joining us along with his better half, Jessica Norton. They, over last weekend, Labor Day weekend, went out, because I was in Alabama with my family, they went out to the Bumbershoot Music Festival. Justin was playing there, but they went out and they took my handy-dandy field recorder, and they were unofficial, part-time Air Raid podcast correspondents for the Bumbershoot Music Festival here in Seattle. That happened last weekend, and we will have a recap of everything they did, people they talked to, maybe pretzels they ate. Who knows?
Woo!
Maybe they ate a corn dog.
Yuck!
You will never know. Well, you will if you listen to the rest of the episode, which you should because it's going to be fun. I always have a good time with these two. You might remember we did a barbecue episode with them because Justin is from North Carolina and he claims he knows barbecue, so whatever, dude. But maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. So, like I said, back from Alabama, you will be happy to know that the Marade's family over there has a pool, so my core temperature never got into the 150th percentile. So I did not die, and so that was good. Another thing that happened, Tatum slept the whole way there. Our child slept the whole way there. 4 months old, she did awesome on the plane, so that was good as well. We had a lot of great food. I literally gained 5 pounds by the time we got back. We were only there for like 2 days. Ate a lot of fried stuff. Man. Good food over there. Good food in Alabama, in the South in general. Got to stop at my very first Chick-fil-A, which I was really looking forward to. They have some fantastic chicken. I am a big chicken fan, and they had some fantastic stuff. We ran into a little bit of a bump in the road on the way down there. Hold on, let me. Take a drink of this delicious American Blonde Ale from the American Brewing Company, now an official sponsor of the Air Raid Podcast and many of the Noisebeam programs. Did you know that American Brewing Company has a website? Yeah, everybody has a website now, Aaron. And most people make them themselves because they're not morons like you are. I'm talking to myself, of course. They have a great website, which you guys can go check out. They have all the places that they are available. You know, when their brewery is open, when you can go down, take a look and eat some hot dogs and just drink some great, great beer. So check it out, AmericanBrewing.com. They have been fantastic to us, so far. So you should really check them out. I urge you to, if you're a fan of, just drinking in general, you might want to look into this. AmericanBrewing.com. Drink domestic by American. Okay, so Alabama, little bump in the road on our way down there. We connected out of Denver, we're going to fly into Huntsville. However, when we got onto this tiny, tiny plane that I literally had to duck to get into the door and then kind of scrunch down and walk down the aisle, there was one aisle of seats on one side of the plane. And then two aisles of seats on the other side of the plane. Excuse me, I'm burping because I'm drinking actual beer right now, which is delicious. Very small, cramped space, right? Right when we get on the plane, this extremely drunk Southerner gets on the plane behind us. And wouldn't you know it, he is sitting right across the aisle from us. Just reeks of, like, he smelled like an ashtray that somebody had dumped, like, you know, 5-day-old beer into. Like a 5-day-old Coors Light or something like that. You know, he just reeked. And so we look out the window. Mairead looks out the window, and there's this huge, dark, ominous cloud in Denver. And we're sitting there for a little while. We pull out onto the tarmac. We're sitting there for a little while, sitting there for a little bit longer. We start noticing that this dark cloud has started to produce a massive lightning storm. So we sit there for a little bit longer. And after about 45 minutes, I would say, we started rolling onto, the taxiing lanes. At this time, I'm sitting there on the plane. And I am saying to Mairead, let's just get the F out of here. Come on. Just who cares? Who cares? People fly through storms all the time. We're probably going in the opposite direction anyway, so it doesn't matter. Let's just get the heck out of here, because it was super hot in the plane too. And on this smaller plane, they didn't keep the air running while we were just sitting on the tarmac. So we finally pull out onto the taxiing lanes. I'm getting excited that we're actually moving, that there's some airflow in the plane now. And then it occurs to me that we are waiting in line because every flight has been delayed because of this huge storm. So I'm still saying to myself, let's just get the heck out of here. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves on the runway. And we take off. And it is a bumpy takeoff because the wind was blowing. It was raining. The lightning was still coming down. This whole time I'm thinking, okay, well, we've got to be going around this thing or something. There's got to be a way around it. No, we flew right into the storm. And it was up there in my top 5 all-time scariest flights ever. I didn't get to a point where I really thought we were going to die. Maybe I did. I don't know. It was close. Mairead and I were kind of holding hands, and she kept on telling me that she loved me, which was a sign that she was a little freaked out as well. But Tatum slept through the whole thing. And then while we're flying, like we're watching lightning go off, it seemed like, 50 feet from the wing of the plane. I mean, it was pretty scary. And it was just raining so hard. It was very, very bumpy. Then it occurred to me, I hate flying.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
I cannot stand flight. It freaks me out. And I don't want to go on a plane ever again. Unless we're going to some tropical place where it's worth it, You know, well, actually, you know what? Alabama was totally worth it because I got to meet a lot of cool people. We had a great time. We ate a bunch of food. Like I said, I gained about 5 pounds by the time I got home. But wonderful, wonderful family. And I got to make a shout out to the twins, little Sailor and Charlie over there in Bama. And like to say to all of the Gillespie Gately clan over there, which most of them aren't Gillespies anymore because they married off. Like to say, Roll Tide, Bama, Roll Tide, and thanks for hosting us over there. We had a fantastic time. One thing that's been on my mind today, as many of you know, this episode 63 is going to air on 9/11, the 10th anniversary of the attacks, the World Trade Center attacks and the Pentagon. You know, I didn't think coming up to this date that I wouldn't say that I didn't care anymore, but it was, see, you know, it's not at the front of my mind. But as the date kind of drew near and you know, seeing the stuff on television, hearing about it on the radio, I kind of felt the need to go back and watch the tapes of the flights hitting the towers. It was very hard to watch still. I mean, I'm sure that that's going to be hard to watch at any moment in my life, and it's probably the same for millions and millions of people. But it's, man, it's rough. It is rough seeing that, and it's very sad, and very jolting, and it kind of took me back to where I was and at that point in my life 10 years ago, and you know it's God, I don't even really know what to say about it, but it got me thinking a little bit for my generation. And for generations above me, too, that is going to be, for lack of a better term, something that we will always remember. We will always remember where we were, and we will always remember what we were doing when, you know, however you found out about it. However, you know, if somebody ran into the room and says, hey, turn on the radio, turn on the television, you got to see what's going on. You will always remember that. And it reminded me of a story that my dad told me when I was little about where he was and what he was doing when John F. Kennedy Jr., or not Jr., when John F. Kennedy, president, was assassinated. And, you know, it just made me think, that's one of those things that we are going to carry with us. No matter how far away you were, how far removed you were from the situation, that is one thing that will carry my generation into the future. And with, you know, in regards to how you remember the past and how you look ahead. And it's a very strong feeling. And I know that a lot of people in my generation like to be crass. They like to be sarcastic. They like to act like stuff like that does not bother them, or they like to, you know, take sides. I'm not really one of those people. I don't frown upon those people at all, because everybody kind of deals with situations like that in their own way. But I am one who looks at the situation that happened on September 11th, 2001, and is saddened by it. I don't like to joke about it. I think it's disrespectful for my own reasons. It's, man, just watching those tapes again, and just hearing the stuff that's coming out now. Right, they've got new tapes that the FBI has released of the flight controllers. Talking to the pilots and then actually conversing or interacting with the terrorists who took over the planes. and hearing them talk, and just, God, it just makes you think about the terror that must have been going through those people, not only in the jets, but within the towers, and how they were going to get out. And I don't know if it was a good idea for me to go back and watch that kind of stuff, but it really, I don't know. I don't even know why I felt the need to do it, but I did, and it instantly took me back. You know, this has been beaten to death, and I didn't want to even really talk about this subject, because, you know, being part of my generation, I found it a little bit cliche, and not something that a person or a show like mine would feel they need to discuss. You know what I'm saying? But it really kind of affected me watching those tapes again and thinking about it today in regards to what my dad had told me about the JFK assassination. And, it just, you know, I just had to say something, but I remember where I was. I remember what I was doing. I was in Bishop, California, out in the desert and, doing some field mapping out there. For school at the time, and we were sleeping, and we did not have the day off, but we did get to sleep in just a little bit. Of course, the East Coast is about 3 hours ahead of where we were at, time zone wise. This guy who had the propensity to tell tall tales ran into the bunk that I was sleeping in, and rattled everybody out of bed and said, you have to come to the mess hall, you have to see what's going on. And we told him to shut up and go away, and he said a plane had flown into the World Trade Center, terrorist, and we said, shut up, you know, that's not even funny, it's not even funny. And he said it with a amount of seriousness that I felt I needed to get up and see what the hell was going on. So I ran to the mess hall, and on the television, the first tower had just been hit about a moment earlier. And when I got in there and saw what was going on, I mean, the room was just totally silent. Room was just, nobody was talking, except for the newscaster on the television, and everybody was just kind of, you know, sitting there watching this unfold, watching this horror unfold. And then all of a sudden, the second plane comes into view and smashes into the tower. And I just remember thinking about the people that I knew on the East Coast, which was, I had a girlfriend living over there, and then hearing about the Pittsburgh thing. She lived near Pittsburgh, and her family did, and I just remember the sinking feeling in my gut about what was going on, what this meant. Like, were there going to be more, right? And it was a terrible, terrible feeling. It was a terrible feeling. And out in Bishop, California, there's not much, but there is, if you remember seeing the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. There is the SETI Institute, the huge array of satellite dishes out there in the desert that probably do a little bit more than just look for alien life. I would imagine that they do some stuff for the government as well. So as we're driving out, this is one thing that pissed me off, is that we didn't get the day off after that. But we worked through it, and there were a lot of sad people, because some of the people that we were with actually had friends who worked in the World Trade Center. And so it was hard to kind of, you know, stay focused and everything like that. But as we're driving through the desert, we start noticing that there are all these black unmarked cars, right? There was FBI everywhere, and they were crawling all over the place in the desert, near Death Valley, and it was a crazy sight. And I will always remember the feeling. I will always remember where I was, what I was doing, and the phone call that I ultimately made to my girlfriend in Pittsburgh, which was a very hard phone call because she was just going nuts. Anyway, so I just wanted to tell you that little story. I'm sure everybody, especially of my generation and the generations above ours, all have their own stories. You know, some stories are going to be worse than others, of course, especially for people who lived in New York. And some will be like mine, where you just remember the feeling, of the sinking feeling. Anyway, let's move on to a different topic. This is great. Wasn't that a great segue to bring us into a discussion about Bumbershoot, the music festival here in Seattle? I guess you have to talk about it. You know, it's on everybody's minds. There's no getting away from it. It is 9/11. It's the 10th anniversary, and a lot of good people lost their lives 10 years ago today. So we're going to go with this song by Legendary Oaks because their drummer, Justin Ansley, is going to be joining us soon, along with Jessica Norton, to give us the lowdown on the Bumbershoot Music Festival. This is the song One Inch Plantation by Legendary Oaks. You can find this on their MySpace page. You can probably already also find it on their webpage because that's how they roll, of course. And let me find their webpage, legendaryoaksband.com. So, yeah, go and check them out. Check them out. Okay, we'll be talking with Justin and Jess here, coming back in a little bit. Man, American Brewing Company, you're really making me burp. I think I've done that in the last couple shows. This is One Inch Plantation by Legendary Oaks, and we'll be back with more of the Air Raid Podcast coming right up. See you in a moment. All right, we are back. That was One Inch Plantation by Legendary Oaks, who just played the Bumbershoot Music Festival, or Arts and Music Festival, I should say, right? Because yeah. It's a festival of everything.
Right. Don't want to confuse your arts with your music.
Yes, and you are hearing, because music is not art.
No. Dude.
And that is Justin Ansley, the drummer of Legendary Oaks, joining us along with his better half, Jessica Norton.
Hello.
Smarter, prettier, better half.
Agreed.
Agreed. Fair.
So because of my trip to Alabama, I enlisted your guys' help because I always enjoy having you two on, although you've only been on once.
Yeah, I always enjoyed that one time too.
But it was just such a good time that it felt like more than once.
You're right.
Yeah. And that's why it's been so long since I had you on again.
I get the feeling you've used that line before.
I think I used that same one on John Roderick.
What?
Yeah, total. Oh, I dropped something there. It's a name.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of did this, did me a solid here.
Cool.
And you were unofficial, or maybe official part-time Bumbershoot correspondents.
Official.
Official? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you took the field recorder and a point-and-shoot camera and went to Bumbershoot. Yeah. But you didn't go to all 3 days.
No. We were on vacation.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys went up to the San Juans?
We went to the San Juans.
Had a good time?
Yep.
Excellent, excellent. And then what day did you actually end up going to the music festival?
Monday only.
That's it?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, yeah, we weren't going to give up our San Juan vacation for your podcast. Sorry to say.
That's okay. That's okay, man. That's okay.
I mean,
I guess.
You know, well, you could have had, instead of your whatever 60 tracks that I gave you, you would have had like 360 if I was there for 3 days.
That's true. I mean, we
would still be knee deep in my mumbling.
In your bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you guys came back with a shit ton of material here.
Well, yep.
And I thank you for that. A lot of it is now going to be for sale on bootleg.
Quantity yeah. Bootleg over quality, disc. Man.
For a bunch of bands, what are you guys' thoughts on music festivals? Because we were talking about this a little bit in our pre-show meeting.
I hate them.
Sounds official, right?
It does.
But
sound
there
official.
Are a ton of music festivals during the summer in the Seattle area, in the greater Seattle area.
So I'll take this one.
Okay, you want to? Yeah.
Yeah.
You have the conch.
Justin and I are a little bit older.
Then what?
Then 21.
Okay, fair.
I feel like I went to my fair share of music festivals in my early 20s. And the older I get, the less patience I have.
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
music festivals and
Big
for
time.
Crowds.
Big time.
And actually, I went to the Newport Folk Festival in Rhode Island this year.
Uh-huh.
Which was amazing. It was real. It was a lot of fun, and I could not get Justin to go with me, at all. Like, oh, I'll buy your plane ticket. I bought your ticket. Let's go. Yeah, he wanted to work instead. So, we don't.
Just
we
to
don't
be clear,
go I to music festivals.
Want to work instead, but yeah, okay. Finish your
yeah.
thought.
We don't. We don't usually go to music festivals. But Bumbershoot this year was an exception. And I
yeah,
haven't been
yeah.
to Bumbershoot since I was in college. I went one time and it was free.
Yeah.
I was just on vacation in Seattle and we just happened to stumble upon it.
Nice. Nice.
So this was pretty much, I would like to, I mean, it was only my second time, but it was good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely different when you have a press pass.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You feel important.
Mm-hmm.
And you get access to certain things that... the little people don't.
Yes.
True. And
no offense, little people.
You don't have to pay to get in. And
right.
I don't, right. Right.
What,
I well, you
look,
don't.
It's $25.
It's $25.
Oh, you do still. Have to pay now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember how you just walk in, but you'd have to get like a bracelet.
Yeah. You have to pay now.
When was that? Back in the 90s or something?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I would have viewed it differently if I had paid for tickets. But... I mean, I guess the point is that I also got my fill of music festivals earlier in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
It's music festivals make the most sense to attend when you're just really into discovering music.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and this was a good,
great venue to do that. Yeah, and that's why it was fun for us to play at this festival.
Right, right.
I played at festivals before that weren't as well attended, but this was well attended, and people are pretty open to just, like, that's why they're there, is to see new music.
Yeah.
Well, this was...
So it's like it's the most primed audience you could imagine. You know, people are there just to...
discover new things.
Check it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I think that this lineup this year, too, since they didn't have any huge headliners like they usually do, was a lot of local music, a lot of mm-hmm. Northwest music, so
yeah.
That was especially great, I think, for a Seattle resident to see a lot of bands that typically their shows sell out, so you can't go to see
right,
them all
right.
in one place. It was really fun.
Yeah, you're talking like a Crocodile show or Numos or something like that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've definitely experienced the same thing. Like once I got older, like the big one, Sasquatch, that's the big one in Washington now. And unless I get a press pass or something to Sasquatch, I am not going to go, because it's just, like you guys said, way too many people now, you know? Yeah. And just like fighting your way through things, and things are super expensive. Just getting like a bottle of water is super expensive. Let alone a tall boy of Coors Light that is super cold, by the way, is way, way, you know, overpriced and everything like that.
Did you just get a new sponsor?
Nope.
Not
yet.
Can American Brewing and Anheuser-Busch sponsor me at the same time? Is that conflict of interest? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Let me take a drink of this amazing American Blonde.
Wait, can I give a shout out to that beer? Because it's pretty good.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Isn't it great?
We drank it on our Lopez.
Yeah, I gave you guys a couple of bottles of it, right?
Yep.
Now, which did you...
One bottle.
Oh, that's right. We drank the other one before you left.
We're only part-time, so we
got one bottle. Sorry. Yeah.
That's
okay. So you said a little bit earlier, Legendary Oaks played Bumbershoot. And
yeah,
it's Bumbershoot, not Bumper Shoot.
Yeah,
Bumbershoot.
Tell that to my partner over here.
I just learned that. I had never even heard that word, Bumbershoot.
So, like, why are these people saying Bumbershoot wrong? It's Bumbershoot.
Bumber.
All you have to do is look at the sign.
Mm, yeah. Reading.
What's
two
sign,
B's,
bro?
Two B's. So you guys, Legendary Oaks, played what, the Mural Amphitheater?
Yeah, also known as the Starbucks stage.
Okay.
Sellouts.
Yep.
And what time did you guys go on?
We played at 12:30, so we were the first people on that stage that day.
Okay.
Which,
how'd it go? How'd it go?
Great.
Yeah?
It went great. I mean, we were the first band, so we actually got a nice leisurely sound check without tons of people watching, getting antsy in front of us.
Right, right.
Bumbershoot is incredibly well organized.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a
yeah.
machine.
Well, with a company like One Reel, I mean, they do a lot of these huge events. So you'd hope that they'd have their shit together.
It was great. Like, you roll up and there's like union stagehands who are like 60
right,
years old
right.
who just start grabbing your equipment and
yeah.
Like, I'm not used to that. Like, I was like, whoa, that dude's got my hi hat. Like, where's you know? But yeah, they just. I mean, they have to run a tight ship because there's limited space down there. They have to move people in and out.
Yeah, totally.
Quickly.
Totally.
So that
part's got to be kind of a shitty job, too.
Well, like, whatever, dude. They're working in a beautiful outdoor amphitheater. I mean, it could be a lot worse, I'm sure, in that line of work. But anyway.
Well, it's called an amphitheater, but it's a grassy knoll is what it is.
Yeah.
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 And it was packed. During their show.
It was packed.
So you had a good crowd. Crowd there.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, it was the quintessential festival audience, like lots of older hippies in purple sweatpants dancing up front, lots of families, lots of like maybe interested hipsters who, you know, kind of looked
were
like,
up from the night before.
Well, you know, people are just breezing through, and it's a nice grassy lawn, and they'll sit down and check it out. And
Yeah, a lot of people were eating lunch, but
totally
a lot of people were rocking out. Like, people were really
good,
appreciating
good.
The band. It was fun to see.
Excellent, cool. So that was kind of how you started the day.
Yes.
Right? Yep. You show up, you play this show. How long did you guys play? 45 minutes?
Hour? We had an hour block.
Oh, nice. Okay. And then you load up and you start milling around with your press passes. So what do you guys do first? Well, tell me your first impressions. Because, Jess, you haven't been there. You hadn't been to a bumper shoot for a while. So what are your first impressions of the festival? I mean, by the time that you guys actually started walking around and stuff, there had to have been a lot of people there.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. But it was really clean. I was surprised with how clean it was, how organized it was. It just seemed like people knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was all kinds of stuff to see, and I never really felt like I was cattled around, you know, like other music festivals. I felt like I was just wandering around Seattle Center with a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Happening.
Well, that's what makes that festival cool too.
Yeah.
It's like it's in this huge expansive space that is the Seattle Center. So you have EMP, the Space Needle down there, for our listeners who have never been there. What is that? Like, what's the fountain area?
I think it's just called the fountain area.
Okay.
But there's Fisher Plaza is right there too.
Right, yeah.
So there was two stages.
Our industrious employer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the fountain and monorail is down there. You know, it's
huge, man.
It's a huge expansive space.
I forgot how large that area is.
Yeah, it's enormous.
Right, until you had to walk around to like.
Yeah, we only.
Do this stuff.
I mean, we walked around maybe a third of it, and I felt like we would. We saw a lot.
Right.
It is huge, although the stages are pretty close together. And
the main stages, the bigger stages.
And they do a really good job of staggering stuff, so you can pretty much, you don't feel like you're missing something on the other side of the campus.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like it's well thought out, you know.
Nice.
Not to kiss Bumbershoot's ass, because I don't care about Bumbershoot.
Yeah, we just got done telling everybody how much we hated music festivals.
Yeah. No, but it's...
Because we're so old.
It's a well-done festival, and it keeps you from...
Yeah.
Like, that's part of why I've turned against music festivals, is sometimes they're just so aggravating that it's not worth it.
Right, you gotta pick and choose what band you actually want to
like
see.
It didn't seem like you had to plan your day out.
Well, I think if you wanted, we were pretty shooting from the hip that day. So
that's how we do it.
I think if we had
that's how you roll.
If we had had more of a schedule, then you would have to be conscious of time. And we were in some ways, but
true.
It was fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys went.
Thanks so for the press passes, bro.
You're
didn't
welcome.
Take any pictures.
Not true.
So at any point did you make it into an area that that kind of made you feel special?
Oh, VIP beer garden.
Yeah, dude. Nacho
no
bar.
Way. Nacho bar.
Nacho bar.
We thought we snuck in. turns out
yeah, we probably didn't.
We just walked in.
we were totally allowed.
Yeah, we were allowed in from our passes. And I don't even know. I don't even think our press passes got us in. I think it was your artist pass.
Yeah.
And my guess.
What?
Yeah.
Totally.
So wait a minute.
It's hard to tell. We had two stickers on. We were fancy.
Press and guest.
Yeah.
And then press and artist.
Yeah.
So what did the artist pass get you?
I don't know.
Basically the same thing the press pass got you?
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
like nothing?
We just sort of...
We got to skip lines, and we got free food, and we got cheaper beer. It was
That is badass right there. The skipping lines thing is totally worth it, right? And one reel was... I got to say this, too. Like, I applied for your guys' press passes way too late. Well, not way. 2 days.
What the
2 days too late. And one reel got back to me and was like, so what's your, you know, they had never heard of us before. And so I emailed Barbara Mitchell over there at One Reel and, you know, God bless her because I think she checked it out and was like, okay, yeah, it's legit. And then got the ball rolling for us. But we were late.
Well, I don't think it stopped us from doing anything we wanted to do.
No.
And I don't I don't know if any of the stickers got us anything. My approach mainly was just to like kind of be a jerk.
Yeah, keep walking.
And walk through.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if the passes worked or if people were just like, well, screw it. I'm not going to. It's not worth stopping this guy.
Right, right.
I'm just going
to. Well, that's the whole thing, too. And that's I think that's what I told you to do. Yeah. As well.
We followed your instructions. Yes.
I was like, just, you know, if you don't know if you can go somewhere, just go there. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It did backfire one time in Key Arena, but that's later.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So you guys made it into the VIP lounge.
So sweet.
And got some discounted beer. Did you eat some of the nachos?
No.
You meet anybody there that you had wanted to meet forever?
Well, actually, one thing.
Were you guys like the only people in the VIP lounge?
No, it was full. No. But one thing that I thought was really cool was that on the artist sticker, it said what band everybody was in.
Okay.
So you could look around and see, like, we saw the guys from My Goodness. We saw a lot of people from Grand Hallway. We saw a lot of, you know, like other musicians. Everybody was just hanging out.
Uh-huh.
And so it was cool for me to look around and be like, oh man, that guy is in My Goodness. That's how I recognize him.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was neat.
Okay. So that was kind of cool. And then was there like a view to a stage from there or something?
Yes, there was, Aaron.
Oh. Do tell.
We could see, what was it called? The Fisher Green?
Fisher Green.
Fisher Green stage.
So that's out towards the Space Needle.
Yeah. So from the VIP lounge,
which was on top of Fisher Plaza.
Yeah. You're up above and looking down and across the green at the stage. So we.
Wait, you were on top of Fisher Plaza?
Yeah. Not the one that you think of. It's just this. Yeah. It's
not
just
the building.
Pavilion.
Okay. Sorry, I shouldn't say Plaza.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Plaza is the actual building.
Yep. Yeah.
And
wrong.
The top of it has a helipad on it.
Okay,
well, this
not
is
that.
A building too, but it's tiny.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where the posters were. Yeah. Flatstock.
Gotcha.
Which
gotcha.
Was cool. I just want to say that.
Oh yeah, Flatstock. So you met this guy that makes posters.
Well,
there.
We met a lot of people that make really cool music posters. It was just a neat art exhibit that they have, and it travels around the United States. But this was This was a lot of local Seattle.
Nice.
Graphic designers.
Cool.
Just want to plug that. It was cool.
Nice.
It was cool. A lot of cool screen printed poster art. We walked around in there for quite a bit because it's in the building inside part of Fisher Pavilion.
Right.
So
right.
We schmoozed in the VIP lounge for a bit and then went down and checked out some really awesome posters. And
okay.
Talked to some folks.
Yep.
And then we went back up and heard Head Like a Kite.
Head Like a Kite.
Mm-hmm.
So are you guys into them? You like it?
Some stuff. I mean, it's some of it, honestly, I was listening. I was like, well, that's not really my thing.
But it's two dudes, right?
Two dudes.
Yeah. And it's I don't know. It's a little bit more like avant-garde rock, I guess.
It's like dancey.
Oh, okay. I had it totally wrong.
No, it's like dancey rock, though. Dancey it's pretty. Rock. It's entertaining. It's definitely entertaining. It makes you want to dance.
A lot of it, it's a drummer and a lot of like pre-recorded tracks that are controlled with a laptop and a keyboard, and then the singer who's kind of the main guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's cool. Yeah, it's a great live show. Tons of energy.
Yeah.
There's a dude in a panda costume.
Yeah, there's. I mean, they bring people up, and the drummer is new this year, and he's great. Like, there's a lot of really good energy coming out. You could see the crowd was definitely into it. Like, it was.
Well, they're pretty popular too.
Yeah, they're really popular.
They've got a pretty big following too, right?
Yes, they do, and you could tell. I mean, just from where we were, you could see the stage and the crowd, and it was one of the most packed shows I saw during the day, for sure. Like,
really?
Standing room, yeah.
Can you refresh me on how you sort of know the drummer?
I know of the drummer because his girlfriend, Laura, has cut my hair for the last 7 years.
Nice. Boom. So why didn't you guys...
I'd like to call her a friend. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you guys get
an
interview with this guy?
It's a close-knit community among the artists.
He's also a graphic designer, and so we, in his posters, he does a lot of show posters. And we went down to Flatstock thinking, like, oh, maybe he's there, but it was right when they were doing their soundtrack for Head Like a Kite, so we didn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boom.
And
okay.
Clearly I need to get my hair cut.
Because they didn't recognize you?
No, because...
We didn't have the scoop.
Side note, I need to get my hair cut, but if I'd gotten it cut before, then we might have gotten an interview.
Right, right. And so, and then, so after Head Like a Kite, you guys made your way into Key Arena.
Yes.
And saw none other than Big Boy himself,
Big
right?
Boy.
Big Boy with an I.
Yeah, we made a special trip
Big
into
boy.
Key Arena. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you say it. We asked for
that's how it's spelled.
We asked for an interview with him, but we were totally denied.
Yeah, that is true. I did.
You did. You did yeah. ask for.
Yeah.
Who did you ask?
Barbara Mitchell.
Whoever you ask. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, everybody. On the internet? On the internet, or did you run into her?
No. I asked her. I sent her an email.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And she never sent you anything back.
Well, I think it was like
she just sent back this blanket list. Like, look, these people have said no interviews. Big Boy. Hall and Oates. Like anybody, basically. But the funny thing, which we should have taken them up on and didn't, but they were like, yeah, any local bands are pretty
well,
into
that's
it.
What I said
and
another.
Urge Overkill is raring to go. But, you know, didn't happen. Sorry,
yeah.
Man.
But Big Boy was.
Big Boy was
I can just
underwhelming. Or,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
you said while we were watching him. That it was whelming. It was flat.
I was perfectly.
It wasn't under. It wasn't upper.
I was perfectly
yeah.
whelmed.
Just whelming. Yeah. It was like okay. Well, sure. Sure.
That's
big
awesome.
Boy.
That's
you
good.
You can get paid for this.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean he, Big Boy's a good performer.
Uh huh.
But he did. When we were there, we saw him do 3 or 4 Outkast songs.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like he was just doing old stuff.
Sans 50% of Outkast.
Yeah.
Instead of Andre 3000, it was some other guy.
50% of the entertainment
right.
of that
well,
band.
Somebody
yeah.
was doing Andre 3000's words and lyrics.
Yeah.
So
did they do
it.
The Polaroid picture song?
Not that we
Probably.
Saw. We saw yeah. Rosa Parks. It was. I mean, hearing that song, especially live, like it doesn't get old. It's pretty good.
That's a great song.
Mm-hmm. Can I just correct an error I made on tape while watching that song?
Sure,
not,
sure.
Just so people know, I'm not an idiot. That's not on their
Well, I don't think we're playing
he
that
He hasn't
one.
Played anything.
Yeah,
that
we're not playing that one.
I'm just saying, dude. Just for you. So you know.
just for me personally?
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wait, you didn't say anything.
You didn't say any correction.
Should I put less vodka in your next drink?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Rosa Parks is not on their first. The first Outkast record came out when those guys were like 18 years old, and it's amazing.
Can you believe that? That's insane.
Yeah, that is insane.
Yeah.
Rosa Parks was on a different album later,
okay.
which was also good, but... Less famous.
Yes, less
right,
famous.
Right.
So, but yeah, Big Boy, we didn't stay long, man. It was kind of like, it was really loud. It was a weird scene.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it just was kind of like, he was phoning it in. We'll
yeah,
just say that.
Yeah.
We'll just say that.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
All right.
Do what you want to do, Big Boy.
Big Boy! All
big
right.
Boy's getting paid. Good for him.
Definitely. Well, he's definitely getting paid. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. This is a good spot to take our second musical break. We're going to go with, let's go with No Ordinary Caveman by Head Like a Kite. I don't think I've ever heard this song before. So we're going to see
good
how
choice.
It goes. Yeah. On MySpace, it has 40,000 plays, so I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Well, then it's got to be good.
Yeah, it's got to have some sort of hook to it, right?
What is MySpace anyway?
I'm not really sure. Okay. I just found out about it. Yeah.
We'll find out.
I did a Google search for Friendster, and this came up.
Oh, cool.
This is No Ordinary Caveman by Head Like a Kite. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast with Justin and Jess and more of their experience at Bumbershoot Music and Arts Festival here in Seattle. Okay.
Bumbershoot.
Go fuck yourself. We'll be right back. That's terrible.
It's crazy to think about. Like, I love bananas. In cereal and stuff, like, you just won't have bananas.
See, I'm with you, though. Like, a little bit of green on the banana is way better. Like, the mushy stuff just, I can't hang with mushy fruit.
I know, I agree.
Like, Mairead hates it because I buy rock-hard nectarines.
Well, that's fine if you're going to let them, like,
no, ripen. Not at all. You don't let them ripen at all. You eat them rock hard.
Quit being so squeamish and enjoy the finer things in life, Aaron.
Like what?
Like fucking ripe fruit, man.
Fancy soaps.
Bath salts.
Thank you. I'm with you, Miranda.
Bath salts and hand lotion.
Well, this is why we're together. Because once the bananas get too rotten, somebody has to eat them.
Right.
You
right.
Can,
too rotten.
You can.
yeah.
Ripe.
Oh, dude.
Wow. Strong one.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we are back. That was No Ordinary Caveman by Head Like a Kite. And it was
Aaron,
pretty good.
You love that song, man.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, you like that.
Huh? It's kinda like Beck-ish, kinda eel-ish, mm-hmm. or eels-ish.
Yes.
Right?
Well,
right.
Yeah.
Is that how it came across live?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep. That's how it looked.
That's how it looked?
Yeah, it was funny. They wear suits like, well.
So they dress up a little bit.
Yeah. They put on a show.
Yeah.
They put on a show. It was fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Like
okay.
Bell-bottom coveralls. It's pretty cool.
Nice. So a la Elton John, big glasses.
Well,
no glasses.
Things of that nature.
Not really.
But yeah.
Not really.
Not really, but yes.
Great. Thank you for going into such detail on that.
Yes,
that was,
you're
that's
welcome.
Amazing.
That was amazing. That was journalist code for move it along.
Move it along. We're tired.
Okay.
We will move it along here. So after Big Boy, you guys make it back out onto the Bumbershoot grounds, and you find a little mobile fruit, or not fruit. Food.
Not fruit.
No fruit.
Mobile food stand.
Anything but fruit.
Yeah. The furthest, it's like the total
the polar
opposite
of fruit. Or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was this place called? Tell us about this place a little bit.
Tell them, Jess.
It was a food truck called the Frandy Bar.
Awesome.
And if I remember correctly, I think they're the home of deep fried goodness. Golden goodness? Golden deep fried goodness.
Yeah.
Anywho's.
Like
I first started taking pictures of the truck, and I was like, we got to talk to these guys. And they actually saw our photo press passes.
Uh-huh.
And
so
Justin's
all of a sudden,
artist.
They were like,
yeah.
Super excited to
talk
to you.
Yeah, they wanted to talk to us.
They actually asked us for the interview.
Which was fine, because that's where we were headed. And they fry everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
everything, dude.
Well, we've got a little clip of you guys, because you did have this field recorder with you.
Play that shit.
Play it, player. Okay, so do you guys know what's on this one, on this clip?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
I don't either.
I feel like we're on, like,
I don't know.
Do you know what this movie clip is? I don't know.
All right, so this is what was it? Frandy?
The Frandy Bar.
Okay. So this is Justin and Jess interviewing the Frandy Bar.
All right, so we're here at the Frandy Bar, the Frandy Bar food truck. Tell us, this podcast, a lot of people listen to this in Norway, Sweden, Japan.
Can I just stop there right there for a second?
Sure.
And just say, I don't know why they do, but they do.
You like how I memorized every country?
You memorized three countries that download the show.
I know stuff,
so,
man.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
just
thank
throwing
you for
out
that.
Some geography.
All right, we'll get back to the... So,
all over the place. So just give us an idea of what you're selling here, just for the people.
We are selling deep-fried goodness. Our name is called the Home of the Golden Deep Fried Treats, and everything in between.
Sweet. So, what's your most popular item? What are you selling the most of?
Well, for the sweet items, is Snicker bars, our Twinkies. We have strawberry and original flavored, and then for the salt side, we have deep fried peanut butter and jelly.
Okay, It is about effing time for a place like this or a food truck like this to make its way into Seattle.
Okay,
well, that's true.
The funny thing is he's about to say that peanut butter and jelly comes with chips.
Yeah, it's like a fried meal.
It's really funny
deal.
Because he keeps saying it's a meal. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
Do you have carrot sticks?
Comes with a full meal. Comes with chips. A little bit of powdered sugar on that. Comes out really good.
You know, on the
Jesus
chips.
Jesus Christ, man. So I would bet that you don't get a lot of people who are asking about, like, calorie content, any of that.
Or carrot sticks.
But just for the sake of knowing for the internet, what is that looking like? If I got, say, a PB&J meal, how many calories? You have any idea?
Well, we always say that we deep fry the fat and calories right out of it, so you have nothing to worry about.
Perfect. Good answer.
Can I just say, this guy was real good at dodging any kind of question about what is in anything.
Yeah, or yeah. Like or how much weight it will make you gain.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want you to think about that, man. They want you to buy 2 Twinkies. Anyway, real nice guy.
So is this your first year at Bumbershoot then?
It's actually our first year in business. This is a family-owned operation. So my brother, his wife, my mom, my dad, and my wife and me, this is our business, our first year.
That's great. Where are you guys out of?
We are local. Me and my wife are from Kirkland. My brother is from Skagit. My parents are from Bellingham.
Cool. Seems like you got a good thing going. Where do you go from here? Do you go to the fairs and stuff, or what do you do?
Yeah, we work every street fair and festival, state fairs. This year, we're staying within Washington, but sky's the limit, man.
Sky is the limit indeed. what's your takeaway from this place?
We've got
another clip of you guys at this place, too, so I would like to play that as well, but...
Well,
I'll just tell you that there was people. There were people in line. There were
well,
people
that's what I'm
waiting.
Saying. Like,
yeah,
it's
people
about
are into
time
it.
A place like this because with the we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Man versus food.
Man v food.
Yeah, total food porn. He is always eating stuff like that, and you're like, there's nothing like that in Seattle.
Yep.
Like they don't deep fry pig snouts here.
Yeah.
I want some.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, like, you're at the fair.
Yeah, and you know what that made me think of? I don't know if it was Man versus Food. I think it was some other, like, Travel Channel, like, look at this crazy restaurant, you know? But there's a place, it might be Chicago or New York, where you can actually bring your own food in for them to deep fry.
Oh.
Like, so people are bringing in, like, slices
ice
of pizza.
Cubes and... Yeah.
Ice cubes would probably explode.
Well, I think.
Well, who knows?
You've had a deep fried ice cube before?
No,
but
come
ice
on.
Things.
Okay, we're getting to it. Okay.
You want to know my takeaway? My takeaway is, I think you're right, it's novelty food, right?
Yes.
It's not.
Well, yeah, but still, like a deep fried Snickers or like a deep fried macaroni?
Yeah.
Sure.
I've heard delicious. Very good. I've never had it before, but I would love to deep fry some Kraft mac and chow.
Well, and that's why these guys have a brilliant business plan. Like, yeah,
right.
That's why
right.
people come up because they're like, oh, man, a deep fried what?
Yeah.
And then they buy it.
Yeah, and they eat it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, let's hear your second. I think this is your takeaway, right?
Yeah. Within... Like
moments of walking away from the stand.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
All right. Late breaking news from the Frandy Bar booth. We got some specials. Here we go.
You get only at the Frandy Bar can get original deep fried Coke float.
That is not the one that I wanted to play.
But that is a nice teaser.
This is where he basically goes and like lists his whole menu.
But we did get to try the deep fried Coke float.
All right, and here's that experience.
Okay, so here's the follow up. Those people were so nice, Garrett and his family that run the Frandy Bar truck. They, without even having to ask them, they offered us free fried stuff. So we went with the Coke float and some fried pickles, and Jess and I are eating those right now. I'm going to get Jess's reaction. Have you tried a pickle yet?
I haven't tried it. Pickles are a little hot, so I'm waiting for them to cool off. But the Coke float was really interesting.
So describe, if you can, I still am trying to figure out, it's, so what do you think's in it?
So the way that she said was that she fried the Coke, but what it appears to me is that there's fried ice cream balls in the Coke.
Yeah, well, maybe the fried Coke's at the bottom? Maybe we have to just keep going.
How do you fry liquid?
That is a great question,
good,
by the way.
Question.
I think that's it. You can't. It was fried ice cream.
It's impossible.
It's fried ice cream.
I will say,
in Coke.
They did claim that they fried the Coke and that it was on the bottom.
Are you serious?
And we seriously sat there and were like, wait a minute.
What? We couldn't get
there. It was
one
of those things where I was like, did I just get sent to find a left-handed smoke shifter? Like, this? No, she is totally fucking with us.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Fried ice cream balls.
Didn't she know you were with the press?
Yes.
Seriously, this is serious.
Fried
business.
Ice cream balls and Coke. That was it. End of story.
See you in court, Frandy Bar.
So I need to. Yeah.
Just kidding.
I need to go and find this place too. They must have like a website or something.
They do have a website.
Right? They do. Yeah.
Do you remember it?
Ooh, I have it with me right now. If I can get up.
Booyah.
I don't want you to get it.
Okay, or it's on Facebook.
Yeah,
it's Facebook. You just look it up. The
it's
F R A N D Y. Frandy Bar.
Or you can go to the Frandy Puyallup Fair.
No,
are they
going to
be
at? They're not going to be at Puyallup. Not this
what?
Year. Not this
no.
year.
Flaming Lips.
I know. I was just asking questions and then totally.
Yeah, I was listening. They're not, not this year. Anyway, Frandy Bar, look it up.
Okay. Well, yeah. Make sure to check them out, especially if you're in the Seattle area anytime soon.
It's
or
worth it
right now. Because,
yeah. Well, here's the other takeaway.
What?
The fried pickles.
Oh man.
Amazing.
So good.
Right. Right.
Seriously.
Had you ever had fried pickles before?
I have,
okay.
Yes.
And those are by far the best I've ever had.
Really? And it's something in the batter. You
something
guys
about the batter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Thick enough, like breaded batter.
Yeah.
Really did they good. Use the same batter on everything, or is it just...
I don't know.
Hard to say.
We couldn't tell.
Carte blanche.
Probably not. It didn't seem like the same batter on the ice cream as
well,
on the pickles,
know.
But
yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Good to tell.
So after the fried food... how are you feeling at that point?
Terrible.
Yeah, pretty bad?
We
pretty
went
weighed down a little
no,
bit?
No, actually, we were fine for a little
we
while.
We went back to the beer garden, the VIP.
The VIP.
Beer
we
garden.
Had to go sneak in again.
And this is when...
and be
this
politely
by sneaking
allowed,
in,
yeah.
You,
yeah,
by sneaking in, you mean
thank you,
walking through the
sir
gate.
Sir and ma'am,
yes.
Here you go.
This is where things got a little fuzzy for Justin.
Okay, okay.
I got...
Well, somebody told you about
misled.
A band.
I was misled.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So here's what happened. Our friend Tuan, who plays in Side Saddle, who is a great musician and happened to land this gig working in the VIP area. Like,
so
serving
also
beers.
We thought we were extra special because
right,
we knew somebody.
We thought we were getting the hookup.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Didn't happen.
And let alone.
There is no hookup.
Happen.
Little
no
did you know
hookup.
He was charging
there's
you an
no
extra
hookup.
Dollar.
Yeah, he was pocketing that no dollar hookup. We were saving.
But Tuan was all excited to see Charles Bradley, who, you know, I've heard the name. I've heard him on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was telling me the whole backstory about how Charles Bradley was this, like, kind of, like, unsung hero of kind of funk and soul music. He'd been this diamond in the rough, kind of toiling away for years and finally discovered by Daptone and put out a record and all this stuff.
Right, right.
My dumbass assumed that because we were talking about Charles Bradley, that Charles Bradley must be the next person to come on stage. And we were watching this band, and I was like, this is kind of boring. It's kind of like generic funk music, you know, and all
right.
band is all white dudes and nothing's that great. And so,
well, here's let's just go to this clip because here's what this sounds like.
All right, so we're about halfway through Charles Bradley. Here's the man, Tuan. Just for the record, I already called you a fucking liar on this podcast. Just so you're okay with that.
I'm not okay with that.
For the record, this is the first time because I didn't play your last clip.
It's okay. That's a perfect place to start because all I said was, this is bullshit. Tuan's a liar.
Yeah.
This sucks.
That band was boring.
Tuan got me all excited about this band and it's terrible and... You can play the rest and find
right.
out.
Yeah, let's
how
listen
wrong
to
it.
Let's
I
listen
was.
To more of this.
Hey, here, I'll give you a little context. I think bands like this is an unfortunate venue for these guys.
Yes.
I think this would be awesome in a small club.
Yes. I actually saw Charles Bradley. I saw him
earlier today at the KXP.
So at this point, you have no idea that this is not Charles Bradley.
No,
even though
just
he
like
said I saw Charles Bradley
covering
earlier.
My ass, like I'm just saying. Like,
he keeps talking about Charles Bradley, and nobody knows that this is not Charles Bradley. I don't even know who this was. Somebody, we don't need to say. Maybe.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah,
let's,
yeah. I don't even know. It was sleepy time music.
Stage.
Oh, inside.
Inside. I was about 20 feet away from him, less than that, and it was a lot more powerful with this kind of music, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That way, like, I think at the distance we're at, it's a little like the...
You're just still not getting it.
Nobody gets it. He doesn't understand what you're talking about.
No.
A little removed, yes. I still think Charles Bradley's going to kill it, though. I think that he's going to probably show you what's up.
Here we go.
Oh, I mean, well, I'm not saying that I think he's bad at all. He's clearly an awesome musician. What?
Yeah. This is a man named Dennis Coffey that we're listening to right now.
Why the fuck are we...
Well, too late. Too late on keeping it a secret on who that was.
Yeah, well, there it is.
Justin, you were like 7 days late with that conversation.
So how embarrassed were you, sir?
Zero. I didn't care.
That was a huge misunderstanding.
Yeah, I mean...
It's not like anybody died, I guess. That's pretty funny.
I was like too busy to have a schedule with me and look at it. So,
Right, I mean, you're a reporter.
Too busy,
you're
like,
a reporter
judging the fuck out of this performer, this
who
poor guy.
We should say now that name has been dropped.
Nah, it's fine.
That they weren't horrible. They just were not. We weren't that into it.
We only have four listeners: one in Norway, one in Japan, and
two in Sweden.
And two in Sweden. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So after this, how? So what time are we? What's the time frame here?
It's probably
like what,
6 o'clock?
Oh, six.
No.
Yeah, it was five or six. Yes.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, so after Frandy,
clearly I was out of it.
You go to some shitty funk band, and then you guys are pretty much drinking all day.
Well,
no.
we hadn't been drinking all day. No.
Really?
We had like one beer. Yeah. Well, okay. Jess had like one beer. I had to have a couple beers before I played because the last time we played in the morning and I didn't have any beers.
Beer in you?
I played everything way too fast.
Well, that was 8 in the morning.
Right, but I was... combine that with like...
This is actually an intervention,
psyching
Justin.
Yourself up. All right.
We got to stop that. We took a break. It was hot. We'd been in the sun all day. We needed some dinner that wasn't fried. Yeah.
So we left
and had dinner.
Okay. And so this is what I found when you came back. So I mean, there's a large black dark cloud.
From where
we left off, because that one,
like that.
Because these tracks that you recorded for me,
ray of light.
these go in chronological order. But after 22, which we just played, we go to 23, and we'll just decide for yourself. You know what? You can email me, aaron@errorraid.net, air-raid.net, and tell me how much these people have had to drink. And whoever guesses right will send you a Noise Beam beer koozie and an Air Raid t-shirt. So
neither of which exists.
No, we have Noise Beam koozies. We just don't have the t-shirts yet. But I promise that we'll make one for you.
There you go.
It'll be a white Hanes t-shirt with me just printing Air Raid using my left hand.
Sharpie.
In a Sharpie. Yeah. So take a listen. Take a listen to this. This is priceless.
We're now back on the bumper shoot grounds. We had to take a break, have dinner. Have a couple G&Ts / Bloody Marys, and here we are.
The Bloody
Whoops.
Marys,
totally accurate so far.
Oh yeah.
Let's keep going.
It's about 8:30, and we're coming back to go see Hall & Oates. You heard me, Hall & Oates. Nope.
And that's where it ends. Nope.
Nope. Yep. because everybody that we were with went into the main
suckers were trying to go into the main entrance. We
and
don't
I was
do
like,
that.
Nope. Everybody, we are VIP.
Yes. Yeah. We get in the short line.
Yeah. So we walked all the way around the
AKA
stadium.
The
I just want to say I paid you guys in Garden Burgers and one bottle of American Brewing Company beer.
Yes.
Delicious, delicious beer, by the way. And I did not pay you this in order for you to take a 2-hour break. To
no,
go
but
to
I think
dinner.
You got your money's worth. Well,
did
yeah.
I?
Okay, yeah. Okay. We didn't. We haven't sent you the bill for dinner yet.
right. Yeah.
But you
that's
got
a tax write-off. It's totally
yeah,
fine.
I mean, yeah. Come on.
So yeah. So the, spoiler alert. Hall & Oates.
Oh man.
This is the. Yes. This was the whole point. The whole point of having you guys do this was that we were going to try to get as close to Hall & Oates as possible.
We did.
It came out that through talking with One Reel that getting as close as possible to Hall & Oates was not going to be possible at all.
No, we got as close as possible.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
possible.
You were
not.
A stadium
into the
away.
Stadium.
Not very close.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were in the stadium, the same stadium that they were in.
At the same time.
At the same time, yeah.
Listening to the same music.
Listening to the same music that they were playing through their iPod.
Yep.
So what was the question? This was the whole point of this show. When you said you wanted to ask Hall & Oates
yes.
this question. What was that question?
What is your favorite Hall & Oates song to sing at karaoke?
Ta-da! That is a great question. What do you think they would have answered?
Oh,
I think
man.
If you
they?
Listen to tracks 47 through 67,
you will have your answer.
You will hear the yeah. answer.
That is the bootleg CD of Hall & Oates at Bumbershoot 2011.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
They didn't seem, you know, it was funny being there because a lot of people that were in the audience, like the younger people, I don't even think they knew who Hall & Oates were.
They were just going to it ironically.
Ironically,
yeah. Like they
yeah.
knew
yeah.
they knew the pictures with the mustaches,
right?
Yeah.
And they knew Maneater.
And
yeah.
Maneater.
They
yeah.
knew Maneater.
But yeah. all of us, I mean, I knew every word to almost every single song.
Isn't that amazing? Because I was trying to explain before you guys went, and I was telling my parents that we were, you know, doing this press thing at Bumbershoot, and they were like, hi. My dad was like, Hall & Oates, that doesn't ring a bell, and so I was like, I started yeah. singing Maneater for him. You know, but I couldn't really think of all the other songs, you know, just off the top
There's
of my head. So I started looking them up on YouTube, and I started playing them, and then I knew it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I just started singing the
it
songs
was, yeah.
and
hit
like
after
I think
hit
it's
after
oh
hit
yeah
after
yes.
Hit.
And I was like, at some points I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was them.
Exactly, they're you know? One of those. Yeah. They're one of those bands.
Prolific.
So I grew up listening to KLSY in Seattle. That's the radio station that my parents listened to.
Right, right. Yeah.
Classy. We listened to it all the time, and the radio was constantly on, and that
right,
is how
yeah.
I know all of these songs. Like,
yeah.
Justin's bandmate, Craig, makes fun of me all the time for knowing every single AM
Well, and he
gold.
Was there. He was there with you guys.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And his beautiful wife, Yuriko.
Wife-to-be.
Oh, they're not married yet.
Nope.
Oh,
end,
okay.
end of September.
End of the month. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to yeah. you guys, but you're probably not listening, so that's fine. so what's I can't remember what this next clip is, but I think this is
Yuriko's half Japanese. She might be half listening.
I don't know. oh, she's 0.5 of our listeners
okay.
in Japan. Yeah.
no,
that's good.
Let me
That's
just
good.
Say,
good Hall, and racist.
Hall & Oates, I thought was this like weird, ironic headliner, but
it totally was though. You know it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, it was, but
it
was awesome
until they played, and it was phenomenal.
And you're just like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
they were
and I think
so good.
I mean, part
yeah,
of
yeah,
it is that
yeah.
we grew up listening to those songs, but
oh, yeah,
I did not know that I needed to see Hall & Oates
mm-hmm.
until they played the first song, which was Maneater.
Right.
Mind over matter.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe they opened with that, too.
yeah.
That's an amazing opener. They like when you have
when you
have a catalog like that,
they got kinda,
you can open with your hit.
They knew exactly what they were.
Oh yeah,
doing.
It was
and
a
they,
little.
They
played,
their second
warm,
encore
but,
was the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah, they knew what they were doing.
Okay.
But actually, what I liked the best about them is they were not infallible. Like there were some moments where Daryl Hall did some like kind of. Scatting, messing
yeah.
with the melody where he was not hitting the notes.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, but most
well, they're
like,
getting. I mean, they're getting
90,
older. You know,
94% of the time he was like on.
Yeah,
incredibly. Yeah.
We could also talk about their plastic surgery because, geez Louise.
Oh, man. If you go to their Facebook page check out some Hall & Oates pictures from now.
Yeah.
Because, yes, there has been some work done. Maybe some injections into the forehead.
Yeah, things are not natural.
John Oates traded his mustache for a flavor saver, which is
We talked about that, too.
I know. He should have just kept the... The mustache is back in now,
too.
Yeah.
You know? No.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
And he'd look phenomenal with it still.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can grow some facial hair.
Totally.
Definitely. Okay, well, so let's take a listen really quick to this next. It's really short. Oh, wait. No, that's not the right one that I wanted to listen to. It's not that short. But we're going to listen to it anyway.
What are you talking about?
And your business.
We've already seen the demographic in Key Arena. Get it back.
Now I remember.
It's like 1 year a minute.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Things are getting super old in here.
Now, are you judging the age of people that are coming in to see Hall & Oates?
Assessing.
Yes, yes sir, I am.
Assessing.
I just wanted to clarify that really quick. Yeah,
it's not called judging.
Might be cool, you know?
Yeah. I think maybe we should turn this off. Anticipation of the big show.
Yeah, sorry, I keep trying to spoil it.
I can't remember the last dating show I was at.
Yeah,
REM? Maybe REM?
I think. Shoot, the last stadium show is probably Neil Young?
Neil Young? Oh, I did see Neil Young as well, but I don't know.
All right, that's pointless.
Craig and I.
But that was Craig
rambling about Neil Young, which was an awesome tour.
Just to let you know.
Yeah.
So by this time you guys are a little more drunk.
Same drunk.
Same drunk. Than a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But tell me end thoughts for the day. Did you have a great time?
Yes.
High points.
I mean, my high for sure was Hall &
Oates.
Hall & Oates, dude. Yeah.
What do you think?
And also seeing Legendary Oaks play at the mural was really great.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to have a high point at the beginning and at the end of the day.
Right, like, right.
Our show went well. We had a good time. Like, no complaints there. And then we stuck it out and actually...
And saw a lot of cool stuff. Like, Flatstock was another
A lot of cool stuff in between. And, you know... We didn't feel bad about taking a break and getting away from it. Like there was a point in the afternoon where we'd been in the sun for too long.
We missed some good
music.
Been
drinking Bud Lights and whatever. And we just had to kind of take a breather, you know. Maybe we are a little older.
It was nap time.
Yeah, like
slash
you know.
Booze time.
Well, I gotta say, I really appreciate you guys doing this.
Sure.
And
yeah,
hopefully we can do it again next year. And maybe this next year I will be able to go with you.
All right.
Yeah, that's what we need.
And we should plan it out a little bit better. Hopefully I'll be on the ball where we can like make it there for like one of the big acts or something like that.
Well,
I don't know. Who knows? You know, maybe we'll have enough notoriety next year to actually get one of the press passes for Big Boy.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that.
You know.
Probably not.
I no longer have any interest in talking to Big Boy. I feel like I know what he's about.
Yeah.
I do have an interest in talking to Hall & Oates.
Yes, heck yes.
Still.
Oh, wouldn't that have been great?
Man, it would have been awesome. I would just would like to see those guys up close.
Do you think you would have been able to ask them the karaoke question?
Or
do you think you would have?
By that point, I would have.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have been able to ask them, like,
unfortunately,
whether they're going to get married or whether, you know, their families aren't okay with that or any of that. Like, I'm curious. Like,
you guys going to move to Maryland?
Yeah. Like,
what's the deal with you guys?
What's the deal?
We love you anyway, Hall & Oates.
Yeah, they were,
no matter what
in
you
all
do.
Seriousness, they were spectacular. Their band was incredible.
It was cheesy at parts, but it was really
oh yeah,
fun.
But of
it
course.
Was it was
so
fun.
Like,
it was
that's
fun.
To be expected, though.
For an arena show, yeah. It was a blast.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you guys so much again for coming on.
Thank you.
And we had a great time having you over, drinking some gin and tonics, and also
water.
Some amazing American Brewing Company beer.
Oh yeah, always
blonde,
totally amazing.
The American Blonde Ale is. Cannot be matched. You guys need to check them out. Also, what you can do is go to iTunes, because we're still working on our goal to get 100 star ratings and 50 reviews. We're at 32 star ratings, 31 reviews. So make your way over to iTunes. Only takes a couple seconds to rate or review the show. And it really helps us out in the long run. Also, you can check us out on Noisebeam Network, the Stitcher. What can I say about Stitcher? Pandora for your smartphones for podcasts. So really, check that out. Download it onto your smartphone. It's a great app. And you can even make your own little playlist for podcasts. And you know what? That's it. I'm done. I'm not going to plug anymore. That's it. But we will see you next week with special guest Sam Sahonis, who is building guitars in Wenatchee, Washington, and has some great stories about getting shot in the butt in Jerusalem while painting a graffiti thing on the wall. So, we'll see you next week. We're gonna go out on this episode 63 with Hall & Oates. You Make My Dreams Come True. Are we sure that that's the name of the song? Because I haven't looked it up yet.
If it's not, it should be, so I think it's fair to say.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like it's, you know,
it could
the
be,
80s were not a very creative period for song names.
It could be You Make Up My Dreams Come True.
You Make Up My Dreams.
There could be a little bit of...
But that's the only other title that it could have.
Yeah.
It's one of the two. So.
Yeah. They put the inflection in the title. Excellent. Well, thank you guys once again. And we'll see you next week, episode 64 with Sam Sahonis. This is You Make My Dreams Come True, hopefully, by Hall & Oates. Have a great week, everybody.